supporting me. Michelle Wilson, you're praying, right? So many people have said to me, we're praying for you. And I'm like, good. I'm high maintenance today. Okay. And I'm going to pray too because I need that. Okay. Lord, I just thank you for the worship at this retreat. It always just knocks my socks off. I'm so grateful for the words, I need you, and that it's my heart's cry to bring you praise. I just pray that you would be glorified and that our ears would be open. You would still my shaking heart and help me to speak boldly. God, just take all the glory and all the honor. You are so good and merciful. And I just pray that we would draw closer to you today, that the women would really see who you are, your beauty and your love for them. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak for you, God. Just use me now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so when Mindy asked me to do this talk, and she's, oh, we're going to talk about mercy. Cool, okay, no problem. And then I really started looking at the topic, and I realized more and more as I worked on this that I'm probably not the one to talk about this. I wish that I had this down, the parts of me that hold grudges and demand justice and want to hide from people in my introverted self, these have just been magnified and magnified over these months. I mean, for me, it's a lot of effort to show mercy just to my husband who eats the last piece of chocolate when I was saving it, for myself. Or it takes a lot of mercy to when the kid, you've just swept up the whole hardwood floor and there's a pile of dirt there. And the kids ought to see that, and they just walk right through it, and I'm doing really good to not knock them, I have examples today to share with you of people that I know who have shown extreme amounts of mercy, and they're not me. I have counseled wives who brought husbands home after they did unspeakable things with prostitutes, and I have known daughters and sisters who offered forgiveness and reconciliation to brothers who did horrible things to them. And I have wondered as I counseled these awesome women what I would do in their place. I'm doing good to show mercy to the lady with 15 items in the checkout line in front of me. I pale in comparison to the examples that I have seen. I know a business owner, my husband, who employed a really bitter, angry man who made everybody miserable for 3 years. And this guy lost more money than we know for the business. And I suggested over and over that we should just fire him, just quit on him. But my husband wanted the gospel to get shared. He wanted him to have a chance to hear the gospel. And so we kept him. I know a son, my husband again, who really ought to be giving this talk, but he's not a woman, so Mindy couldn't ask him. I'm glad he's not a woman. Anyway, I started to tell you, Jeremy has forgiven two fathers, not one, but two who left. And I, how many times have I cynically thought, they don't deserve a phone call, much less our visit on Thanksgiving. But my sweet man, the boy who was given up on, right? He reminds me that somebody has to stay constant. So I'm wondering how many of you are like me. And who out there is, it's easy, mercy? Show of hands, anybody? Yeah, we all need a lot of prayer and a lot of work. It's not easy. I am praying that you will leave this retreat excited about the prospect of pouring some mercy into your relationships. I hope last night as you listened to Mindy that you started to think of people who need mercy from you. They need it. The boss who takes you for granted, your coworker who talks about you behind your back, the husband who spends every night in front of the video games instead of with you, your small group leader who doesn't return your phone calls, your small group members who don't return your phone calls, the child who throws 10 temper tantrums a day, the roommate who hasn't paid her share of the electric bill for 2 months, The neighbor who plays loud music at 3 a.m. The sister who competes with you in every way. These are the relationships where mercy wants to take root. And maybe last night you started to get excited about the possibilities, right? What mercy could do. Maybe you're thinking, that one, but not that one. No, right? I want you today to gather these people in your mind, and maybe when we're done here, even the ones that you're thinking, no, not that one, maybe we can get excited and start to dream about how we can transform some relationships. Mercy, as defined by David Pallison, has four parts. There's patience or forbearance. There's forgiveness. There's acts of love. And then there's constructive conflict. And my job today is to break down three of these components and define them and really make them practical and apply them for you. And this morning, we're going to talk about patience. Now, I'm not talking about the patience that you need to wait for a doctor's appointment. I think the Bible says be patient at the doctor's appointment, too. But I'm talking about patience that waits on a person, particularly a person that is sinning against you. So more specifically, I'm talking about this word forbearance. It's patience with a twist. Whereas patience is waiting for others to mature in grace, forbearance is being patient when that immaturity is directed at you. So forbearance, you know, it's got the word bear in it. It carries the idea of suffering, of hanging in there, bearing the pain, people and events that remain hurtful, but you still stay. Okay, forbearance is the action of bending down to that screaming child and cuddling her close when really all you want to do is walk out the room or send her to grandma's house. Forbearance is the woman who invites her insulting in-laws over for Thanksgiving dinner again. Forbearance is the roommate who sits down with that one who hasn't paid the electric bill and over a tub of ice cream helps her make a budget. Patience wants to change the world, and even if it's a long, slow change. Patience wants to love and minister, and you can't minister if you quit, so you stay. That's what patience understands. Now, I want you to be clear on what is not patience and forbearance. Just because you're waiting and staying doesn't mean you are being patient. We are not talking about brute endurance. We're not talking about gritting your teeth until you have TMJ and being resigned to the inevitable. We aren't talking about numbing yourself with four margaritas and a bag of chips just so that you don't care what he does anymore. When you are truly patient, you still hurt. You acknowledge that things are wrong. You look that pain in the eye and you name it. And you talk about it. You tell God, look what they are doing to me. And you look at your options, right? I could leave. I could strike back. I could rant on Facebook and name some names. I could get them in big trouble with the boss or the parents. And then you choose a different path. The patient person holds her tongue, not only with the enemy, but when the enemy has left the room. The patient woman refrains from sending that retaliatory email. The patient woman obeys the inconsiderate boss. The patient woman continues to visit her mother, even though she knows she's going to have her feelings hurt every time. The patient woman picks up the phone, even when she knows who is on the other line. And we, of course, have the best example of patience possible, right? There's no doubt that God sees everything. All the hate, all the rebelliousness, the coldness of the world, he looks at it and he calls it sin. It is what it is, and he withholds his wrath every day anyway. Psalm 78 describes him this way, yet he was merciful. He forgave their iniquities and did not destroy them. Time after time he restrained his anger and did not stir up his full wrath. He remembered that they were but flesh. A passing breeze that does not return. And Jesus, when faced with the enemy and the cross, right, he looked carefully at all the possibilities. He asked God about it in Gethsemane. Essentially, he asked if he might quit. Right? He could have called 1,000 angels to his side and left the scene. But we know Isaiah 53:7, oppressed and afflicted, he did not open his mouth. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. Praise the Lord, he didn't leave. Right? Why does he do this? Why does God wait to pour out his justice? There are people out there that I want stopped now, right? ISIS, drug cartels. Why is he forbearing? Why does he wait on them? 2 Peter 3:9 gives us a great clue. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness, right? Seems slow to me, seems really slow, but he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but wanting everyone to come to repentance. God suffers with the evil of this world because he knows that some of them will repent if given the time. We have to be glad for that, because that long suffering led us to repentance too. Right, I was 14 when I came to Christ. 14 years he waited for me. I was a liar and a thief and a cheat. I was given to huge fears, the idol of having a perfect body and a desire to please man before anyone else. All I thought about all day long, literally, was how to be skinny and how to win a boy. And God knew I didn't give him a glance, but he waited. He had a gorgeous, beautiful plan, and he knew exactly when I would be ready and when to move toward me. How long did he wait for you? How much sin did he see? Whether you were 5 when you came to the Lord or 35, God waited for you. And every day he saw every sin, every act of rebellion, and still he waited. Every day he saw how you worshiped another and how you wanted your way, not his. And he waited for you for years. And even after you came to him, he has waited. He has waited for you when you took that path to the side of the road and chased after something worldly instead of him. He waits every day for you to put down the technology and open the word. He waited for you while you dabbled in a relationship that wasn't godly. He waits every morning for you to wake up and remember that he's there and that he gave you breath and that he's the reason you're here today. And maybe he's waiting right this moment for you to surrender and to accept that you are beloved, to lift up your hands and let him be your God. He waits all the time for us. Isn't that something that we dream of? I think women especially, right? We want the hero who waits for us, who no matter what is there, you have one. You have a hero who sees every sin you have made and every sin you will make for the rest of your life. And he stays with you anyway. And he's asking you to wait on someone else in the same way. Who do you need to make a U-turn today? A wayward husband? Smart-mouthed child? Lost friend? A boss that's just too hard to work for anymore? Whom would you like to quit on? Can you wait a little bit more? God is asking you to. Romans 12:12 says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:14, and we urge you, brothers, warn those who are idle, encourage the timid, help the weak, be patient with everyone. I could read a whole bunch more. You know it, right? He wants us to be patient. It's practically every page. There's no doubt this is what we're called to. Does it seem impossible? Believe me, there are plenty of people in my life that I have wanted to walk out on. And there are people, God forgive me, that I walked out on. But I am learning that it is possible to stay. And here is a key. Okay, if you don't get anything else this morning, this is the heart. Patience is centered around trusting God. Patience is centered around trusting God. Okay, who made this world? Everybody? God. Who made your difficult person? Who put you here in this place with your difficult person? God, right? And he didn't just drop you there and leave you. He's watching. He's sovereign. He's just. He's good. And you can trust these things about him. So patience means that I choose to wait on God to fix the situation. It means I do not choose my idea of how it should be fixed. Forbearance says, I trust you, good and sovereign and just Lord, to fix this in your time, in your way. Now, of course, we don't like this. We want things fixed now. And if God's not going to listen to me, then I quit. Right? And that's impatience, and that's basic unbelief. And it will tempt you to make some rash decisions. It will tempt you to argue, and it will tempt you to nag. It will tempt you to push against the obstacles. See, impatience says to God, I know better. I deserve this now, and your timing is wrong. I don't want to say that to God. I wonder how many marriages could have been saved if husbands and wives just refused the temptation to give up. Right? How many children could have been taught not to quit by watching their parents? How many lost coworkers and lost neighbors and lost friends could have been won for Christ if we had just hung in there a little bit longer? Ladies, the wait he may ask you to take, it may be really, really long. Years, a lifetime. That's long. How do we handle that? Patience is centered around what? Trusting God. Okay, the wait is his plan. He's a good God. That means it's a good plan, even if you have to wait. He designs the timetable, and he knows what he's doing. You know, we said earlier that God is long-suffering because he's after souls. God tolerates this world, child abuse and slavery and racism, etc., because he plans things for his enemies, plans that include redemption. He has people to save, even ISIS, even drug cartels, even child abusers, right? All of it. He wants to save some of them. What if that long suffering that he's doing and that he's asking you to do, what if that happens to lead your difficult people to Christ? You know, we're talking about mercy shaping relationships here this weekend. How would your relationship be shaped if your person found Jesus? Mercy saves people, us, all the time. Revenge and quitting on them? Not so much. This is what James is getting at when he says, everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. It doesn't bring about righteousness in ourselves, and it doesn't bring about righteousness in others. Mercy, however. You listen to Proverbs 25:15. Through patience, a ruler can be persuaded, and a gentle tongue can break a bone. Patience has power. Can you dream with me of saving some people? Paul's second letter to Timothy suggests that as we are patient, we partner with God in bringing people to repentance. Our gentle instruction, our patience and carefulness, says Paul, these are the tools that God uses to lead people to truth. He says it's to bring them to their senses and help them escape from the trap of the devil, who has taken them captive to do his will. Your difficult people are captives, and you're God's partner in the rescue. I know some of you have waited a long time. You have told the same things to people over and over and over, and they're not listening. And your people keep sinning, just like we keep sinning, right? And I wish I could tell you that forbearance always looked like it worked. You know, my husband's employee, I wish I could tell you that the miracle happened and that he got saved. It's not the way the story ended. He left the company just as angry as he had ever been, and Jeremy grieved over how the plan doesn't look like it worked. But now, we don't know what seeds were sown in those 3 years, right? For now, it looks like a fail. So when, to our eyes, it doesn't look like it's worked, how do we keep caring? How do we manage to extend mercy to the next person who hurts us? That 1 Corinthians love that Paul talks about, he says it always hopes. How do you keep hoping? Patience is centered around trusting God, right? You go to the Word. Isaiah 30, 18. Yet the Lord longs to be gracious to you. He rises to show you compassion. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all who wait for him. Isaiah 64, 4. Since ancient times, no one has heard, no ear has perceived, no eye has seen any God besides you who acts on behalf of those who wait for him. Isaiah 30, 15. In returning and rest, you shall be saved. In quietness and trust shall be your strength. Not ranting and raving, right? Quietness and trust. Do you hear the promises? There are blessings for the one who is patient. In Proverbs, God connects patience with wisdom. 14:29 says, a patient man has great understanding, but a quick-tempered man displays folly. Proverbs 19:11 says, a man's wisdom gives him patience. It is to his glory to overlook an offense. Patience teaches you. It strengthens you. Forbearance humbles you. And you know God draws near to the humble. Long-suffering brings you close to the walk that Jesus took. I can't even tell you everything good that's going to come out of your patience. But I know 2 Corinthians 4:17. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Eternal glory. That's something to hold on to. You have to be in his word. You have to sit in the promises, in the stories of Jesus and how you are beloved. You have to be immersed in truth instead of the lies that Satan is telling you. You know, it's like Mindy talked about last night. Satan wants you to quit. You know he wants you to quit. Your chief weapon against him is the word of God. Right? In his word, I hope. If you're not soaking in God's letters to you, hope is going to fall apart. Nope. People, they're going to question your decision. Why are you staying? They will encourage you to give up and save yourself. Because the world doesn't understand this patience thing, right? It looks weak to them. It looks dangerous. It looks like it doesn't make sense. I have a dear, dear friend whose husband divorced her years ago. He committed adultery. Who knows why? Because she's awesome. And he left. And when he wanted to try again, she let him come home. And when he left again, she decided to wait it out. I love this about her. She never signed the divorce papers. And she didn't know. She didn't know when the divorce was final. Because she didn't sign the papers. And she's still not looking for another husband, even though some would tell her she could or she should. And sometimes she still gets invited to his extended family's events, and she goes, even though he's going to be there, she'll have to see him. She sees him at her son's soccer games and baseball games. And, you know, she could avoid him, and no one would question that decision. And when her ex-husband is unreasonable or difficult, she doesn't fly off the handle. She prays, and she seeks counsel, and she returns evil with gentleness, because she believes that God is asking her to stay still and wait. And because she made a promise to stay, and promises are sacred to this woman. And because she trusts that God is at work in some way. And maybe it's reconciliation, and maybe it's not. But this woman, in her waiting, she is absolutely beautiful. Her son has an amazing example of patience before him. She is Christ to that lost husband. And it is hard, really hard, especially when people, even people in the church, don't understand, what is she doing? How does she hold her ground? She's in the Word, first of all. But she also understands this. And this is sort of the other key. You know, you got to be in the Word, and you got to do this. Long-suffering does not mean a joyless life. The word suffering, you know, don't get wrapped up in that. We can't just grit our teeth and bear it. We can't go cynical. When God moved the Israelites to Babylon and told them that they would have to bear with their enemies for 70 years, that's longer than most of you are going to have to bear with your person, right? 70 years, they're going to have to be in exile with their enemies. You know what he also told them to do? Prosper. Plant gardens. Build houses. Marry and give your children in marriage. Bless the land of your exile. You can choose to curse the wait, or you can choose to trust God that this is a place where you can prosper. My sweet friend who is waiting on God to determine what happens with her husband, she prospers. She raises her son in the ways of the Lord. She pours into the lives of women who need a good friend. She loves laughing and sharing good chocolate and hugging my children. She is determined that it's not the end. Right, what can you do to prosper? Turn on the radio and worship God. Plant flowers in your garden. Find someone else who is also working out this patience thing and serve her. Listen to the rain. Snuggle under a blanket. Make lists of those blessings. Encourage and celebrate patience in others. You know, I didn't do that with my husband as he was waiting and hoping for his employee's salvation. And I only made it harder for him to be patient. He doesn't share with me as much when employees or customers are difficult because I haven't been his champion in the battle to be patient. He needed a helpmate who encouraged his goodness. I'm working on being that now. Thanks, Mindy, for making me do these talks. There are days that I get angry at the husband who left my friend, and I would like to chase him down and do something really rash. But this is not what I'm called to do. Right? I'm not called to encourage her to anger and encourage her to hate. I'm called to celebrate my friend's gentleness and her gorgeous position of patience. This is hard, to be the friend and the wife who encourages love and not anger. But this is what your friend needs. Someone to stand with her while she tries to look like Jesus. Someone who can be brave with her, especially when the mercy looks like it failed. You need to be there with her to say, "I'm sorry it didn't work this time. Let's try it again." Forbearance is a beautiful choice. It believes in possibilities and it waits for them to arrive. Forbearance is not a doormat. It is not a victim. It is courageous and clear-minded. It makes a choice. Do you see the difference? Do you trust God? Do you believe He is working good purposes out? You can trust God. He is just. He loves to save people. And the Lord loves to work good for you. Right? Trust Him to do those three things. Something good is at the end of the wait.